Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Monday, 24 January. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Alex Dace. A bunch of retail updates on Friday. We'll dig into those. Bruce Williamson from Integral Asset Management, PGMs. A good start to the year. I'm wondering, is that going to continue? And should we be bullish in the space? And then Dennis Hobson from Investec, really looking at supply chains globally and locally as we head into the new year. Are they finally going to start, I suppose, working properly? The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Subvest Capital keeps delivering. We touched on it with Keith McLachlan last week. He's dug more into it. Investment holding company that ticks five key boxes. Business day, Rand hits 10-week high ahead of banks' rate move. Currency gains after consumer inflation data raises expectations. Central bank will increase interest rates. That happening Thursday. Morning markets, the US was red over on Friday. S&P down 1.9%. It is now also below its 200-day moving average, first time since early 2020. Nasdaq off 2.75%. Asia is red. Sydney off a third. Tokyo off 0.5%. Commodities mixed over the weekend. Gold, 1,838. Brent, 88.64. Platinum, 1,034. Palladium, 21.20. And rhodium, 16,500. 590. Rand, 1509. Top 40 looking for a red open. About 270 points down. That's about a third of a percent as Tencent trades 1.8% down in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Alex Dace from Infumbo Wealth. Alex, morning. Appreciate the early morning time. A bunch of trading updates from some retailers on Friday. Fashini Group, Mr. Price, Truers. That follows on Woolies earlier. The Woolies one, not so great. Your take on those three, Truers, Mr. Price, the Fashini Group. Anything significant stand out between them for you?
Morning, Simon. For me, the Fashini numbers were quite good. If you look at specifically the comparable like-for-like store sales in Fashini, very good numbers in November as well as December. I think December was about 11%. Especially if you compare that to some of the performance from the likes of Truett and Woolworths, where December period chain seems to be quite virtually flat. So that certainly seems to be a strong number there. However, you must remember when it comes to these quarterly updates, it's only mostly on the top line. We don't really get too much insight into what happened to the margin, cost base, as well as earnings. And very importantly also for these companies, of course, is the cash flows, because something like a Truett, even though it's very muted top-line growth, most likely are going to generate very good cash flows, which means probably very healthy dividend as well as even share buybacks going forward. But certainly for us, for Shinya and Mr. Price, the two ones that stood out, our preference still remains for Mr. Price. We think it's still the best in class in the industry. They've had about a couple of big acquisitions the last 18 or so months, and that does have some execution risk. But so far it seems okay. If you look at Power Fashion as part of my surprise, they were quite negatively impacted by the looting riots we saw in July to August. So that is still going to take some time to work through the system then. And also the Sheet Street, the homeware type business, is also a little bit under pressure. I think that's just some high base effects. But the core business, the pure apparel, which is more your fashion type value retailer, that seems to be quite strong. And I think the price is also well positioned. Fashini certainly is getting our attention with some good updates. And we're a little bit concerned about Truett's growth, but we think they're still well positioned from a cash flow perspective. And of course, then dividends and share buybacks.
Fashini Group as well. I mean, one of the things I had a look at was their Australian operations, because of course, Woolies continues to struggle in Australia. Woolies taken a different approach, very much that sort of old classic department store. But the Fashini Group actually doing fairly well in Australia.
Yeah, so the offshore ventures for these companies is quite a bit of a mixed bag. So if you look at Fashini Australia, certainly has been by far the biggest success story, it seems, over the last couple of years. And once again, after a poor prior period, that gave a very good quarter this time. I think it was about 16% or so, the growth there in Australia. So certainly that business seems to be doing well. They are more targeted on the younger type of consumer in Australia. Well, of course, David Jones is more your affluent type. Mm-hmm. And you've got your big department stores, which you know is struggling. And also perhaps in Australia with all the restrictions and so forth, it's more difficult to buy online at David Jones perhaps compared to a Rag. And also the older part of the population most likely will not be going to the stores where the younger people might still be going to the stores. So these things do play a role other than in the structural issues that David Jones has. But I think Australia, Oshini is looking good and, you know, the momentum certainly on their side.
And the Woolies one, I mean, we've touched on Australia there. Their fashion still struggling. Their food under threat from ShopRite. Is Woolies a stock right now which is perhaps best left alone, or am I perhaps missing some points there?
I think certainly the food has been affected by the 60-60 from Checkers. There's almost no doubt about it, but it's still a world-class business, and I think they will make some sort of recovery. I mean, I would imagine that management team will have some ways out to battle these issues. Regarding the fashion business, I mean, they did hire Marnie and Moritz that came from Oshini about 18 or so months ago, and they're trying to change that business. Now, I haven't been to the stores myself, but I heard it's been quite a big change. It's almost becoming like a mix between the old Edgars and of Oshini with a bunch of concessions inside. So time will tell if that is going to be a success. But he certainly came with a very high reputation. I think we still need to give him more time to execute. But you know, Woolworths Fashion has underperformed for a number of years, specifically in the women's side of things. And more needs to be done there. And perhaps it also takes time for the message to be sent, you know, word to mouth and so forth. It takes time. But let's see what happens. But at the moment, it's not looking too good. But I think they can bounce back.
I take your point in that. Maybe I need to go and do a site visit to a Woolies Fashion and see how it's looking. Alex Dace, Portfolio Manager from Mfumbo Wealth, appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Joining now with Bruce Williamson, Integral Asset Management. Talking PGMs, as I mentioned in my intro there, certainly they've picked up platinum above 1,000, palladium now above 2,100, rhodium back above 16,000. Still off the massive highs, but moving nicely from those lows towards the end of last year. Bruce, appreciate the early morning this morning. We've seen those PGMs moving. Your sense for the year ahead, is this a bit of a blip, or is there cause to be positive for the PGM basket in 2022?
Morning, Simon. Morning to the listeners. Yes, you know, I think the point is that we do need to recognize that there are still a lot of risks that have built. COVID, Omicron continues, the severe weather events, China-US standoff, US-Russia standoff, Saudi-Yemen, etc. But and there's an energy crisis amongst all of this.
Yeah.
What I'm really looking for, we had that massive pullback. It looks as though the market has stabilized quite nicely. And as long as prices just stay where they are, we are still in terms of the six PGM basket, we are at record highs. People must remember that the averages in June and through to December were partly the massive rise and then a big pullback. But I can tell you now, we're still sitting at about 40,000 rand per ounce on the basket. And that means, you know, our local guys are earning really, really good revenues.
That's a good point, because we all look at that massive run-up we saw around mid-year and kind of fixate on that. But of course, the miners, when reporting to June, which was a record 6 months across the industry, they got the average price. And the levels we're talking at right now, that palladium 2100, the platinum, you know, call it the 1,000 and 30 odd, those tie very much in with the average prices they got. So you know, maybe a little bit down, but these are not going to see earnings collapse by any stretch.
Not at all, not at all. And remember, if you now we're going to be reporting to December, mm-hmm. and yes, a lot of the companies are June year end, so they report interim. But if you look at the 12 months to December, we probably close to we around 39,000, whereas June was 43,500. And so the average the average 12 months to December is say 41,000, and spot was 40,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, if the price stays flat from here and the rand stays where it is, then there are going to be tremendous cash flows coming.
And one of the big issues, the challenges that we saw has been motor vehicle production. That has been the inability to produce silicon chips. I mean, are we seeing any sign on that? I mean, I'm imagining that's still at best, I suppose, tight supply. If that starts to pick up, that will almost be a bonus to the process.
Absolutely. That would be a bonus. Yeah. And I think we can go back to March, April last year when the market was assuming that the chip shortage would sort of come to an end within 6 months. Well, it didn't. Mm. And if you listen to and listen to all the leaders, there is still a shortage. Some auto manufacturers have managed to do better deals than others. But yes, you're right. That would just be an added bonus to what is still a fairly tight situation. And I think remember that COVID has taught these producers and the shortage of chips is you don't on top of that want to be short of rhodium and possibly, say, palladium.
Yeah, and certainly that rhodium has been, I mean, it's well off the 30,000 highs, but it's back above 16,000. Quick last one. Last time we chatted, your preferred local PGM miner was Northam. We've seen some corporate activities happening around there with Royal Bafokeng. Are you still liking Northam?
Yes, absolutely. I think the market and most of us would have probably have liked a nice big fat dividend out of Northam. It would have been capable of starting to pay. But I think when you think long term, and this is the important thing, in 10 years' time, you're going to ask yourself why I didn't try and get a stake into Royal Bafokeng. It's an existing mine. It's up in production. With Eskom capitulating, you're not certain that we are going to be able to open similar big mines in the future. Mm. So if you management and you take a 30-year view, boy, you want to see if you can get a stake in Royal Bafokeng. So that is noise that is distracting the market. Mm-hmm. But Northam can spend another $6.5 billion, and they can add nearly another 50% to their PGM production over the next few years.
And I like your point in Eskom. I hadn't actually thought of that at all. Bruce Williamson, Integral Asset Management, talking PGMs there. And that's our question on our LinkedIn and Twitter. Are you buying this PGM rally in the miners? Definitely buying. Perhaps you never sold. I got to say, I held on. I was not selling. There's two halves where I thought as almost equally good, or perhaps you concerned it'll fade soon. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Dennis Hobson, a logistics and pricing analyst at Investec for Business. Dennis, appreciate the early morning. We chatted back in September around logistics supply chains. It was tough. Since then, we have had Omicron, which has sort of shut down borders again, shut down ports, etc. Has it hurt global supply chains even further since we last spoke, or are we seeing some perhaps improvement coming through?
Good morning, Simon. Yeah, I think the latest variant and outbreak has created further disruption to supply chains, and particularly with the labor shortages, which has impacted your tracking services, created additional pressures on your terminal facilities, your warehousing, which has just led to, you know, further backlogs and congestion within the supply chains. We've seen, you know, over December, early January, a significant amount of flights being cancelled, which impacted the air freight capacity. And then we've seen severe delays with sailing schedules, vessels not leaving on time due to the congestion within the ports. Notably, the USA, Los Angeles, that's probably got worse. At any given time, there could be over 100 vessels, you know, waiting to berth. And, you know, we've seen lead times also increase and be very erratic and unpredictable. So to answer your question, it hasn't really improved in any way.
And from what you're saying there, I mean, it's pretty much across the board. It's getting hit sort of everywhere. It's not, you know, maybe it's just trucking, but air freight's okay. But as you mentioned, I mean, you know, a lot of flights were cancelled, and a lot of that cargo actually goes in the body of a plane with passengers at the top. That disappears. The sense is that this is broadly across everything, remains congested. Is there hope for this clearing in the next 6 to 12 months, or is it a case of we're going to have to wait and see?
I think it's very difficult to predict, you know, when we can or expect some kind of stability. You just need one major event, like we had last year with either the Suez Canal blockage or Yantian port being shut down, to really go and, you know, disrupt things to another level. There have been expectation that we could see some kind of stabilization late in the year. Mm-hmm. And there's pockets of improvements that we do see from time to time. And I'll give you an example. Last year was, you know, a big struggle with getting containers on time.
Yeah.
So we've seen, you know, new container bills come into the market, which has eased pressures there to a degree. But the biggest issue really is around, you know, with the current congestion on the sea freight side, you've got plus minus 12% of the global capacity being caught or stuck outside the ports. You know, that has a knock-on effect to demand for air freight, for example. Now you've got the labor shortages, which then creates, you know, handling delays with air freight and flight cancellations. So everything kind of has a knock-on effect. And we need to get past this Chinese New Year period and to see what, you know, what the situation is like post that. I know a lot of shipping lines are also waiting to see what demand looks like post Chinese New Year. So, for now it's a wait and see. We have seen, you know, rate levels on the Far East to South Africa trade stabilize somewhat, and expect that those rate levels to soften slightly, which is good news. But the shipping lines will no doubt try and keep rates elevated. Mm-hmm. You know, they got the pressures on for them to maintain their record profits. That'd be interesting.
They are, I mean, it was Maersk, I think, had their best profits ever in the history of the business. A quick last question. Locally, Durban Harbour was a problem. You've seen some issues with Transnet as well with their rail lines. Are we seeing any improvements in those two?
So, yeah, Durban still remains a big headache for the industry. You know, again, labour shortages, lack of skill at times. And then we've seen, you know, equipment failure or maintenance that wasn't done, which has impacted the port productivity. And that has a knock-on effect in terms of delays of getting containers out of port. It creates congestion. And then again, you know, you have shipping lines, the vessels having to wait longer outside the port before they can berth. And sometimes those shipping lines decide to go and call another port and then come back, which, again, creates additional lead time and frustrations.
Okay, so short answer, it is going to be another year of supply chains. We'll keep an eye on that. Dennis Hobson, logistics and pricing analyst, Investec for Business. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. Friday, we were chatting with Sean Saunders from Revex, talking metaverse, NFTs, gaming, cryptos. And the question we asked you, is this a space that you're watching for potential investment or maybe a trade? About a fifth of you said yes. Just over half said absolutely no ways. And a quarter of you were saying that you are certainly watching it. I'm watching. The gaming interests me, the metaverse. Although, as I said, it's not new. Second Life is almost 20 years old. World of, uh, what, a bunch of those sort of massive multiplayer games came out in the early 2000s. We'll see how that goes. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m., podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Nobuchle, Eddie, Nicole. Thanks to you for listening, my guests for the early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.